Greetings, and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's reader is Patricia Bull. It is the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
It's not that hard to figure out. The first sentence of the gospel tonight tells us the point. Jesus is going to tell his students a story about the need to pray always and not to lose heart. Then he tells the story. The tricky part is when we hear these stories that very often have some sort of a hierarchy in them, someone who's in charge, and then somebody who's not, somebody who's poor or simple or in trouble. Most of my life, I've figured, oh, okay, well then, the person in charge, that must be the God part, and the little person or the one in trouble or the one that's needy, well, that must be me or humanity or other people. But that means I'm forgetting something that I was taught really early, that the kingdom of God is built upside down, inside out. Last shall be first. Always with a kind of a logic that is not the first thing that would present itself to our imagination. So in the story tonight, is God the unjust judge that just can't be bothered, that doesn't have respect for anybody, that's really bad at his job, a judge that doesn't care anything about people? That doesn't seem to be the point. In fact, it's the widow. It's the very vulnerable person, the one who's only going to get a fair deal if the one in charge sees that she does. I heard Father Xavier say earlier today that she's the one that's completely vulnerable in the story. And who's the person in our life who's the most completely vulnerable? Who's the one that makes himself completely vulnerable, if not the Lord? It's just that from early on, we might have gotten ideas about Jesus being some kind of Superman, the walking on water and the, you know, changing water into wine and that kind of thing. But he's the one who shows us the way to live our lives by opening ourselves up. And what makes us more vulnerable than loving? You open your heart up and you become full of the beloved, but with it comes fear and kind of loss of control. And even with you coming here to Stanford, I love to ask you when I'm first meeting you, so what's your big dream? What are you gonna do with all this education? And sometimes I hear grand schemes, grand ideas, and then other times I hear people say, I'm not sure yet. And I love to hear that answer. You're sure enough that you've eliminated a lot of things that you don't want to study. You know you want to study this, and maybe you can't exactly say why you want to study East Asia. You just do. There's an attraction. We're going to hear from Tricia Birla in a minute, who did a master's here in East Asian studies and then ended up having that aptitude, that love, be taken by the Holy Spirit and transformed into something extraordinary. Today is World Mission Sunday, and Patricia, you were one of the first people I met when I got here 7 years ago, I think. And so I've been able to observe a little bit of your journey and watch it being transformed from something that wasn't even clear in your own mind and heart into something that's now very focused and that has a whole lot of passion behind it. So I won't take any more of the time that's allotted to you. This is Tricia Birla, who's Stanford alum and who's going to address us tonight on a mission project that she's very much involved in.
In the parable of the persistent widow from Luke's gospel, we see Jesus teaching us to maintain our trust in God to answer our prayers. This often isn't easy because we tend to lose hope a lot when we face difficulties in our lives and feel that God is not listening. But God is saying, remain faithful. I hear your prayer and will take care of you. God has clearly shown this to me in my own life. As Father Nathan said, in 2005, I graduated from Stanford with a master's degree in East Asian Studies. I had lived in Japan and China and had a couple good job offers on the East Coast. But to the dismay of my family and many of my friends, I ended up doing something no one quite expected. Giving up everything to serve God in Asia as an independent Catholic lay missionary. This was a very special call, one that even I wasn't sure of at times. And I often questioned God, especially when times were difficult and understanding from others seemed hard to find. So like the persistent widow, I spent a lot of time before God with my request laid bare. I prayed for wisdom and guidance for my ministry, clarity for my vocation, and support to get me through the days, months, and years of pursuing a calling filled with trepidation, uncertainty, challenges of all kinds, and Lord knows its share of tears. Surely, I kept telling myself, if God truly wanted me to be a foreign missionary, He would give me the means necessary to succeed. And by means, I meant funding, emotional, spiritual support, you know, the kinds of things you would expect. Yet it seemed that in spite of my prayers for several years, with few exceptions, I had very little support of any kind. Serving as a foreign missionary is not an easy vocation to begin with. But as a lay person, it was far more difficult for me without the benefit of a religious order to support me, let alone my family, who wanted me to do something, you know, big with my Stanford degree. Add to that the fact that I spend most of my time serving in communist China, and suddenly I had a whole lot to pray about. Still, I forged on ahead, somehow knowing deep down that this was what God was calling me to. Scrambling together whatever funds I could glean from part-time work at Stanford and other odd jobs, I set up an educational nonprofit and began going back and forth to China with little more than a small pack of clothes, my laptop, and a suitcase full of materials on my faith and university work. Relying almost entirely on God's providence, I continued in my ministry, knowing that I would eventually get the support that I really needed. During my travels, I regularly step off my plane, not knowing where I'll be staying for the night, or how the current socio-political winds might affect my ministry on the ground. I lay my head wherever the local Chinese Christians can find me a place. Sometimes a dirty old couch with cockroaches for roommates. Once even a cold cement floor in midwinter. Yet despite the fluctuating conditions I encounter in my ministry, God's faithfulness has been the one constant I can always rely on. But it's rarely been easy. As a solo missionary in a land where information from the outside is regularly censored, religious freedom doesn't truly exist, and missionary work is forbidden, there is almost no one to whom you can really turn, and life can be intensely lonely. It's a real struggle. Yet I found that through such struggles comes understanding, a greater understanding of the people I work with and serve. And through struggle also comes relationship, a deep, intimate relationship with a God who always stands by me, guiding and strengthening me, never leaving my side. In some of his letters, we read about some of the difficulties that Paul encounters in proclaiming the gospel. People abandoning him or working against him, even those who should have been there to support him. Yet Paul maintains his faith in the Lord, and as he says, "The Lord stood by me and gave me strength." The Lord stood by me and gave me strength. Like Paul, my own faith has served to enable me to continue in my missionary work with the strength and wisdom of the Spirit. Over the years, I've certainly endured a lot, and it's been hard. But with each challenge and suffering, I'm brought closer to the people I serve and the God who sustains me. Through the grace of God, I've been blessed in having a profound impact on the lives of many college students and young adults and the universities and Chinese faith communities in mainland China. In the universities, I work with administrators to better develop student services programs to provide counseling, leadership development, personal growth, and other issues for China's students to more fully reach their potential in a healthy manner and contribute their talents and efforts for the betterment of Chinese society. When I'm not teaching in the universities, I am actively involved in a number of faith formation activities within the local Christian communities. And even though I currently focus the majority of my efforts with the official Catholic Church, I also encourage a lot of ecumenical interaction with our Protestant brothers and sisters as well. On one occasion, I invited a young woman I met at a tea house to join us at her Bible study. She knew nothing about God, but by the end of the evening, she threw her arms around me in a big embrace, and through tears, confided in me that never before had she felt so loved than in that space, and that it was Jesus she wanted in her life now. Even this past year, new ministry opportunities have opened up to provide training for Catholic priests and sisters in the countryside in areas such as counseling, crisis intervention, and empowering the laity, things that are very needed in China right now. Indeed, in the time that I've been serving in Asia, I've seen the Holy Spirit work in so many beautiful ways and touch so many lives that I cannot help but continue to dedicate myself more fully to this mission. Yet the mission I am now being given extends beyond my ministry in China. As word spread about my China ministry during my travels to other parts of Asia, a need for greater missionary work became increasingly evident. As Jesus says, "The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few." Thus, with a sense of renewed vision and guided by the Holy Spirit, I recently founded the St. Francis Xavier Lay Missionary Society, dedicated to training, sending, and supporting Catholic lay missionaries to share the love of Jesus Christ with others in foreign countries, particularly with young adults in Asia, promoting greater understanding within the church of the universal call of all who are baptized to Christian mission, and encouraging others to live out their faith with humility and love in service to God. My hope is that through this new missionary organization, we won't just be bringing the love of Christ to foreign lands, but also rekindling a fire in the hearts of all Christians back home to burn ever more brightly for Christ, to enliven a desire to deepen our faith in God, to pursue his unique calling for each of our lives, and to truly live out our faith in all that we do. As I started to seek out support for this new lay missionary initiative, it was truly a blessing to behold how things were coming together in such beautiful ways. Bishops, religious, and laity began showing an intense interest in what we were really starting and offering their support. It's been like a dream, the kind that only God can truly offer. I still remember texting Father Isaiah after I came out of my meeting with the provincial of the Western Dominican Province. "So, how'd it go?" he asked. I responded, "It was like Christmas morning. Not long after, I was meeting with another Dominican friend and mentor over at the Priory and shared with him how the Holy Spirit was really blessing this new ministry in so many amazing ways. At the same time, I still couldn't quite understand how, despite how much my ministry in China was prospering on the ground, it had been such an uphill struggle for me all of these years. Every time I reached out for support, it seemed, I always felt like I was shouting into the wind. Why hadn't God been answering my prayers then, like he is now? Father simply responded that God did respond to my prayers, but he clearly had a special plan for my life to do more than solo missionary work in China. Over the years, as I suffered through a variety of challenges and experiences in pursuing my missionary work, God was honing and strengthening me into someone more capable of effectively founding a new Catholic missionary organization. Through my difficulties, I'd grown humbler and wiser, matured into having a deeper, more trusting relationship with God that would allow me to let go and place myself completely in his care. Until I did that, God could only go halfway with me. God always had a great plan for my life, but only if I was truly ready to follow him. Father further emphasized that in this way, I was also able to more fully manifest my lifestyle charisms of intense faith and mission. A year or two ago, I would not have been ready for the work that is before me now. In fact, he conceded, the church probably wasn't ready either. But now, he insisted, the Spirit is showing that the time is right for you to found this new lay missionary society, and it is something that has been a long time in coming. God was always with you, and now he is clearly leading you to this new missionary calling. So like Jesus says in his parable, God does hear our prayers and cares deeply for us. We have but to keep our faith in him and in his special calling for our lives.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover. Associate Director, Michael Rector. With music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.